take it on down from Muscle Shoals through Decatur. Over Spanish Fort into Mobile, my hometown. Mr. T.
Welcome back to the Jeff Poore Show at FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for sticking with us on this Friday. What's led to this Friday morning, soon to be Friday afternoon? Joining us now on the line, he is our returning champion. We talk to him about this time every week, State Senator Chris Elliott. Senator Elliott, good morning. How are you?
I am doing great, coming to you from a Starlink Wi-Fi connection. So we'll see how it goes.
We are really testing the waters here, aren't we?
Live and in color.
So it's not only coming across a cell tower somewhere, but it's also being zapped into space and right into the it is kind of a very circuitous route, especially considering I am at the Federal Bureau this morning. But anyway, let's kick it off here. So I know we spent last week talking national politics. I just want to start with that real quick. The chaos was supposed to be over when Joe Biden was elected in 2020, and 2021 was going to dawn a new age of just we were all going to be like spared from the rigmarole of the tweeting Donald Trump and his chaos. I don't remember a more chaotic time than this last month or so of politics in American history, at least in my lifetime. Maybe the Civil War, I don't know.
No question. I mean, you have to wonder if they should just go ahead and move the Democratic National Convention back to Chicago and go through that again. And, maybe they can top it this time around. but it's off the hook. I mean, it's just like, is this really happening? And I've had a couple people reach out to me and say, boy, we're really giving the civics teachers, a lot to talk about here. Because you have these folks running around on one side of the aisle talking about democracy and how they're defending democracy and then disenfranchising all of their voters that have voted for one person to do a switcheroo right in the middle of everything. And I just don't know how the American people can get behind a party that can't get their stuff together and says things that are demonstrably untrue, then admits that they're untrue, then backs up from them, and then goes through a whole nother, trying to rebrand this is nuts. I'm ready to get President Trump back in office and have some adults running things.
Well, and here's how effective do you think all this is that they're doing? Because I was telling Todd Stacey this earlier, like the before Sunday, before Joe Biden announced he was stepping aside for the first time in a while, probably since Trump won in 16, it felt like Republicans kind of had, or conservatives, I should say, had a little bit of wind in their sails. It was Democrats on defense. They were having to defend they were split. They were divided on what Joe Biden ought to do. It was kind of amusing to watch. And then just as soon as she is the presumptive nominee, the American media, mainstream media, the switch lit up, and then, I mean, they just went full on. I mean, even very bland, typically bland wire copy from the Associated Press become flowery about Vice President Harris and just like, but I'm looking at it, and here it is, it's 2024, and I know we're like kind of segregated, we're at our own sides, and we get our media from our sources on each side. And I just wonder, this like sort of full court press in America right now, does it really matter? How meaningful is it to the whole presidential election process?
It's a good point. I don't know that it matters a whole lot, because I think the folks that are Trump voters are Trump voters. And I think the folks that are not Trump voters are going to vote for anybody else. There's a little bit in the middle there, certainly. And I am amazed at the mainstream media. And it amazes me that I'm still, I guess, naive enough to be surprised that they are handling this in the way that they are. but they're falling over themselves to talk about a woman whose record is just so flawed that that she finished, you know, distant in the Democratic primary for president just 4 years ago. And so you have to wonder how all of a sudden has this all changed. I mean, she certainly hasn't done anything good while she's been in office as vice president. As a matter of fact, it's just piling on more bad. The only thing she's done is take the Democratic Party and pander to its base, which Joe Biden had lost, right? Joe Biden's an old, you know, fairly centrist white guy. And so, you know, he's not, you know, that's his background is fairly centrist. Now, certainly they tried to push him farther and farther to the left in order to get elected, and certainly while he was president. But, you know, he wasn't the champion of Palestinian transsexuals, you know, and then all of a sudden, you know, here she is, and she's this multicultural, you know, Palestinian, you know, loving, you know, LGBTQ, you know, crummy borders are. And you got to wonder what in the world does that say to centrist Americans who are looking for, you know, somebody to just get the economy back on track and stop, you know, stop pandering to the extreme left.
Yeah, I don't know what the country wants right now. I mean, we're told, well, young voters really want all that sort of woke progressivism, and they think it's time for a change. I don't think they care enough. Madden 25 is out, or not Madden, but College Football 25 is out, and they care more about that. But we're supposed to pretend like that's the key to election success. I don't know if it. Well, it used to be like with like say Dukakis or McGovern, even these far left figures, Howard Dean. They never really caught on, and I think she's in that category enough outside the mainstream where people would be like, I don't think so. But is 2024 different now? Have we really turned a corner? Is the culture more secular? And is this the time that it will actually work? I don't think it will, but I'm more of the mindset that it could work more now than it has ever in the past.
I don't think it's going to work. I think this election is going to be decided by blue-collar workers who want to see their work valued. I think they are tired of this woke social ideology and are more interested in the economy and making their, you know, their income go as far as it can. They've seen disastrous economic implications of this administration, the Biden-Harris administration. And then I also think that, you know, centrist, you know, soccer moms, if you will, are going to be the others that are going to make the difference in this election, and they're going to have to decide, you know, which side of this are we on, a president that keeps us out of war through being very strong and very assertive, or one that that absolutely will get us back into war, where their children may very well end up serving our country and putting their lives at risk. And so, I think obviously that the answer on that is very clear. But we will see how those, you know, those swing state moms and swing state blue collar voters break.
Well, bring it back to Alabama. First off, just your thoughts on the Baykeeper lawsuit. I haven't done enough justice on this. We had Bradley Byrne on earlier this week. I know Sean's done a lot on it, but the dredging of the port and what to do with the spoil and the threat to the Gulf sturgeon. And I mean, you understand this stuff fairly well. What do you think of that whole saga?
Well, I think first and foremost, it's important to note that Baykeeper is an organization that is funded off of donations. And just like, you know, clickbait media or any other political entity or association, you have to show that your members that and your donors that you're doing something, right? And so I think that Baykeeper has chosen this as the issue to demonstrate to their members that they're fighting for something, and therefore we should donate more money to them. I think that the outrage you heard from Bradley Byrne was justified. I really do. This is a process that has been going on since 2006. It has been studied ad nauseum. The Corps of Engineers is a tough federal agency to get anything through and done. And they have, we have, this entire community has worked very hard to get to the point where we are right now. And so I think that the core studies of, you know, done by, you know, really esteemed scientists have demonstrated that this is a perfectly acceptable way, to remove and dispose of this dredge material. And that the environmental entities that aren't more focused on fundraising and instead are focused on the environment are the ones that have been at the table with the Corps of Engineers trying to figure out as much beneficial use as they can for these dredge materials, up to and including the Mobile National Estuary Program, who is, in my opinion, you know, kind of the go-to environmental entity who's going to talk to you straight about what's going on without some sort of, you know, profit motive behind it. And so I think, you know, latching on to the Gulf sturgeon as an environmentally, you know, endangered species and trying to attack the Corps of Engineers is probably the wrong way to go for Baykeeper. And it's certainly the wrong way to go for our community. This has been vetted. This is safe. And we need to press on with what we've got and not upset the apple cart here at the end.
Another topic here with just 5 minutes or so. So Kenneth Boswell with ADECA penned a, I don't know if he penned it or he had staffer or somebody, but it was this lengthy op-ed. We chose not to run it at 1819, but I think Gillihammer and maybe APR ran it, about the virtues of fiber and fiber internet and just really, really down on satellite or any other means of internet delivery, broadband internet delivery. I know you've been really on this kick, Senator, with Starlink, and you have a Starlink subscription and the equipment, and you've loaned it to some of your colleagues in the Alabama Senate to try out. And there's, I'm a little surprised to see an op-ed come out timed when it did, and you know what's going on here. Why is this necessary? But tell me this, you see something like that, the rural broadband discussion, you and I are going to be old men before that is fully realized in this country, I mean in this state, I think, the way they are selling it to us. What do you make of what's going on right now? And, I mean, is there any chance that we would see some kind of alternate delivery method besides what they're trying to do with the fiber optic cable?
Well, we need to see some comprehension and grasp of an alternative delivery method if we're going to get, you know, high-speed internet to the majority of the state. I mean, look, what Senator Schofield and Representative Shedd, you know, started through IDEA is commendable, has worked well. The feds have come in with a ton of money to really push out fiber. And the grant requirements are such that it will only go to fiber, and that's okay. There's nothing wrong with fiber. Fiber is great. I read Boswell's op-ed, and I will tell you, I was just shocked. I mean, my first thing that I thought of when I saw this was like, what in the world is his problem with a kid having internet, high speed internet access tomorrow? I mean, if I was waiting on fiber to come to my house right now, we wouldn't have high speed internet at my house in Baldwin County if I was just sitting around waiting on Boswell's fiber to get there. And there are a lot of kids in that same predicament. And so you can spend what you can would spend less than what you would spend on an iPhone and cell service.
Hey,
you
Senator.
Internet access.
Hey, Senator.
If you put the order in right now, it'll be there in like 7 days as opposed to 7 years or however long it's going to take.
Hey, Senator.
While I think that what ADECA is trying to do is certainly good and good for the long-term future of Alabama to invest in that infrastructure, that fiber infrastructure. Why are you fighting a solution that could work for Alabamians today? That's the part that doesn't make any sense to me. I mean, he talks about this being the holy granite grail of broadband infrastructure. I get that, but maybe instead of providing the holy grail, how about just a cup? I mean, it's extra thirsty, and I ain't got anything to drink. Bobby Singleton talks about all the time how, you know, he ain't got any G's, right? Not five G's, but no G's. And so let's mix this stuff in and realize that technology that is changing as rapidly as broadband infrastructure technology, let's embrace something that works in the short term. And listen, if it's not the solution in 5 years, fine. You know, throw it away and move on. But good gracious alive, as inexpensive as it is and as effective as it is right now, why would we not consider that as a solution? So forget the state funding. If Obama wants to spend it all on fiber,
right?
If the governor wants to spend it all on fiber, let him. But if you're in an underserved area right now and you don't have access, tell me from personal experience, Starlink will change your life and it'll make sure your kids are better to have access tomorrow while you wait on the speed of government to actually get something done.
Senator, I don't know if you can hear me or not, but your Bluetooth connection dropped, and I think we got the gist of it there on the speaker. But we will catch up again next week. Thanks for making time for us.
Thanks for having me. Sorry, that was a Bluetooth error, not a Starlink error.
All right, I think the Bluetooth dropped. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Force Show on FM Talk 106.5.